Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Creston. Kamala Harris accepting the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Here's ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
Harris using the DNC stage to tell her story, then turning her attention to former President Donald Trump.
Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails,
blasting Trump on foreign policy.
I will not cozy up to tyrants and dictators like Kim Jong-un.
Harris ending with a plea for Americans to unite around the nation's core values. Jacqueline Lee, ABC News, Chicago.
The union representing workers at Canadian National Railway Company has taken down picket lines. They say its employees will be returning to their jobs today. The other major Canadian railroad, however, is still striking. The Canadian government forcing the country's two major railroads into binding arbitration late yesterday. Italian rescuers bringing up to shore the body of the final person who'd been missing in the sinking of that super yacht. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic National Convention is over. Now, what's next?
The next thing that happens is that moments from this convention turn into viral videos, turn into ads that are run on TV. People will be reminded of the highs of this convention all the way through the time the polls close.
Wisconsin Democratic Chair Ben Wickler says the hard work of knocking on doors and getting out the vote ramps up in earnest. Four hotel security guards charged with killing a man in downtown Milwaukee this summer are pleading not guilty. Todd Erickson, Brandon Turner, Herbert Williamson, and Devin Johnson Carson were in court yesterday. They face felony murder charges in the death of Devontae Mitchell. Prosecutors say they held Mitchell down and suffocated him. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. University of Minnesota Duluth officials are sharing an update on the renovation project of their main production kitchen. According to a Fox 21 report, the remodel is still right on schedule and should not have an effect on students. The university is working out of professional food trailers to meet the dining needs of students while the renovations are underway. Kitchen staff are also using the remodel as an opportunity to experiment with some edits to their recipes. University officials expect the kitchen should be completed by early 2025. The city of Cloquet is looking for help from the community after graffiti was found near a popular park. According to a Northern News Now report, the damage occurred on the ATV trail and bridge near Spafford Park and on the walking path north of the St. Louis River. Law enforcement authorities believe the graffiti damage was done sometime between Sunday and Tuesday. As city officials work to clean up the affected areas, law enforcement authorities are looking for any information on potential suspects from the community. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers face the Oakland A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight in Oakland. They got shut out yesterday in St. Louis 3-0. The Cardinals' Miles Michaelis held the crew to just a pair of hits through six innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I coached Miles in 2013 in Tucson. I know a lot about him, and I know his ability to pitch. He went overseas and with the Texas Rangers really learned how to pitch, and then all of a sudden really learned some things, and then got a big contract. He's been a great pitcher, and he's very capable of that. And he dominated us today.
High school football, over 360 high school teams kick off their season tonight as part of the statewide WIAA competition. NFL, Packers and Ravens tomorrow at Lambeau Field, kickoff at noon. Matt LaFleur.
It's always great to go against a competitive team like the Baltimore Ravens, one of the premier teams in the National Football League. We're just looking to competing against them and getting better today.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
2 hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Paid for by Wisconsin DOT.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison Curdfest rep Peter Nickel. Civic Media's Terry Bell gives us a recap of the DNC, and it's a bar band Friday night featuring Max Sync Radio's Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. Man, that sounds good, man.
It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, welcome. I don't even know what to say anymore. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. It's good to have you back.
Man, there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
It sounds like AI.
And then I don't even have to click my heels together. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so, Sandy, the Democratic convention in was just, you know, spectacular.
Well, you know what I thought was spectacular about it was the deep bench that you know, the speakers, all of them. When you looked at their backgrounds, you know, I was saying to you off the air, you know, you had Governor Westbrook, followed by Pete Buttigieg, both of them Rhodes Scholars, both of them such impressive people. And then you looked at all the rest of the speakers who came, and I mean, there were plenty of people there who could be running for president other than Kamala, and she stood out as well.
So let me do this before we get into that, because we're going to talk about that a whole lot. You know, I want to say, Sandy, I want to talk about football, man, as much as you and I love football. And I love football so much. You know, and I used to love it even more so. I would watch the preseason games. You know, you have to really love football to watch.
Yeah, I like it because, number one, there really is a lot of effort in preseason.
Do you watch
games.
Preseason games?
Oh, yeah. I'm interested in how they make the roster decisions.
Oh, yeah, they're really, yeah.
And, you know, come next Tuesday, we'll find out who the 53 are for each of the teams.
The amazing thing is, Sandy, they only play 3 preseason games now.
Yeah.
Used to be 6.
I know. And I think now that I see this, I think 3 is plenty with the training camp in between and how they make their decisions. And I think not playing starters makes a lot of sense when you've only got 3 games to figure out who's on your roster, because you've got to test and play all those the lower roster folks, right? The ones who are on the bubble. So I think it's pretty interesting.
Sometimes people get angry when they don't play the starters. The Minnesota Vikings mortgaged their future to get a young quarterback, star quarterback. They put him out on the first preseason game.
Yeah, and he's gone for the season.
I mean, you understand why they don't play the guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, injury is obviously an issue, and if there's a risk of injury, I suppose you want to risk it during the season when it matters rather than during exhibition. And the other thing is that because all those people on the bubble are trying so hard, you know, they're going to probably have some late hits. They're trying to impress. They're trying to get the coach's attention. It might be that the game is a little rougher, tougher, more difficult during the exhibition. at least in terms of having surprise contact and than it might be during the season. So, you know, I get it. And I don't think exhibition games, you know, we've got 17 games during the season now.
Well, so let me, you know, it's a lot to talk about with football. I want to begin, Sandy, high school football. You and I were engaged in it at some point in time, not just playing it, but coaching it and being engaged. And I ran a youth football league for 20 years.
Yeah, I played in it, and we didn't wear leather helmets. I just want you to know, I was post-leather helmet vintage.
Well, so I didn't have, you know, the helmets that we had. My first helmet had a plexiglass face mask.
Fancy.
What's that? It was fancy during your time to play. You remember the plexiglass
face mask? Yeah. My first helmet had a single bar face mask.
Bart Starr.
Yeah, but, and that's what we had basically the whole time. So
it didn't matter what position, huh?
No, I played center.
Were a center with a...
I weighed quite a bit more. And you'd get smashed in the face. It was perfect. Actually, the face mask essentially did nothing but keep you from breaking your nose when you fell flat on the ground.
Hey, Calvin, can you imagine a guy playing center with one bar face mask?
Yeah, that would be brutal.
And back then it was the day of the forearm shiver. Let me just tell you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. We don't need to talk about old times, but old times were painful.
Hey, Sandy.
Yeah.
The guy could stand over the center.
Exactly.
He could line up in front of the center.
On the long snap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. I did that.
Center's got his head down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was legal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's a different game now.
I'll just a short story. I played a game against South Milwaukee, and they had this big guy playing, and he just had his way with me unbelievably. And I only later did I find out it was a guy named Phil Sobosinski, who went to South Milwaukee High School, Wisconsin, all Big Ten, all American, and played for the Atlanta Falcons. And it was a man playing a boy.
Well, you know, Sandy, I guess I want to talk about the fact that you can't, some schools, now Milwaukee Public Schools used to, you know, when I played football, we had freshmen, we had JV, and we had high school players. And so we had, you know, three different levels. Today, Milwaukee Public Schools, probably only a couple of them
have a JV
team. Yeah. And maybe a couple of them have, Fresh South teams, but out of all of them, they can't get enough players for teams to even field. And so some of them have three different schools cobbled together. And even with three different schools, they may have 30 players.
Well, I mean, obviously football,
it's in trouble.
It is in trouble because I think the head injury issue is real. When I was coaching at the high school I played at long, but I was coaching more recently, there was a lot of attention paid to it. They were part of an experiment that the Medical College of Wisconsin had ongoing, putting sensors in helmets.
Right.
And we discovered a fair number of concussions, and most of the concussions occurred during practices. And so, you know, head injury is an issue. Competing sports, not, you know, back in our day there wasn't soccer. Now there's soccer.
Right.
There's competing sports, lacrosse, all kinds of other sports for people to participate in. It's much more common for kids today to be one sport athletes. It used to be that if you were a good athlete
football and basketball.
Yeah, right. If you were an aspiring athlete, you played a sport every season. And so, you know, there's a bunch of reasons for it, but some schools locally do have big turnouts, but they're sort of football school. So,
right.
And you know, I've got a grandson at Marquette. They have 60 kids on the freshman team. So, you know, that's a big number.
Right.
Most of the high schools in metropolitan Milwaukee don't have 60 kids out for football total.
No, absolutely not. With three schools combined.
Yeah. And are combining schools in order to get enough to field a team that can play safely. Because, you know, if you have 18 kids and only 9 of them are worthy of playing, you know, like a real, like, first team players, you're actually endangering the kids because they aren't capable of playing safely in the big in the big time, you know, under the big time.
So there are actually schools in Milwaukee public schools that have what you just said, 18, 19
right,
players,
right,
which I think it's they got to play both ways.
Well, you and I did a radio show last year for Waukesha School, and they only had about 20 kids, 21 kids.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough to, I don't think, have 11 defenders and 11 offense, you know, two platoon kind of football.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that we're having the conversation, Sandy, is in today's The Guardian, is high school football morally tenable? Morals and football?
Well, I think
kind of in the same
That article talks about kids dying from heat problems as well, and there's no question. I mean, I was
because of the change in climate.
Well,
right?
I mean, we're experiencing these massive heat domes. Right, I was in Utah 2 weeks ago, and it was 102 degrees, and it was football practice season. Right, 2 weeks
right.
ago, lots of high schools had two-a-day football. It wouldn't be safe, or very safe, to conduct anything like a rigorous football practice in pads in 100-plus degree temperature without realizing that you're putting some kids' health in jeopardy. You know, in our day, we were so foolish they didn't allow us to drink water during practice, and we had to take salt pills before practice to make sure we'd sweat too much and dehydrate. So, you know, it's not like they've always known what to do, and it's not clear that we still have figured out exactly how to make football as safe as it ought to be for young players.
Well, you know, Sandy, in Las Vegas about 3 weeks ago or so, 4 weeks ago, a month ago, it was 115 degrees or better for about 25 straight days. And so, you know, I don't know, man. It bothers me that the guys who are the coaches can't understand my job is to protect this young guy. But we've got them. They want to be Bill Belichick, right? I remember in the years that I was running my league, I would tell the guys, man, I'm not looking for Bill Belichick, right?
Or Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, Vince Lombardi. These are children,
yeah,
right? But, you know, even on that pro level, which, you know, they've got all the best of everything. Dehydration on a football field, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, right?
Absolutely. No, I mean, football's a magical sport, I think, in many ways, and it does so much for character building and team building and what have you. But it is a sport that's fraught with risk, and we need to have, particularly the coaches that are coaching young people.
Right.
We need to have them help those kids protect them from themselves, because part of football is demonstrating your courage, right? You know,
right.
I'm okay, coach. I can go back in.
Right.
And so, you know, you've got to save people from themselves, and that's been particularly the case with head injuries, because head injuries are very unapparent injuries. They're not even that apparent to the person who gets them. You know, you get your bell rung, but when the dizziness passes, you think you're okay.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. I'll tell you what's going on.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Law enforcement across Wisconsin is speaking out in support of Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate. Listen to Sheriff Kurt Fell of Rock County.
Every day we battle illegal drugs coming into our community, and we know the attacks on Tammy Baldwin are not true.
Sheriff Jeff Scatroot of Greene County.
Tammy's working with law enforcement to stop the flow of fentanyl.
And Sheriff Calvin Barrett of Dane County.
She brought Democrats and Republicans together to crack down on the drugs coming from China and Mexico, giving us more tools to fight drug smugglers.
It's Tammy Baldwin who stood with the Border Patrol on border security. She supported the strongest border security bill in decades.
And Tammy voted 32 times to strengthen the border. She's fighting the flow of people and fentanyl coming across the border.
It's Tammy Baldwin I trust.
I trust.
I trust to help us keep Wisconsin safe.
I'm Tammy Baldwin running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Sandy, I can't wait to hear what. So, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy Williams, where's your head at today?
What the hell am I thinking? Huh? So, that's the music from Slumdog Millionaire, which was a movie about India.
Yeah, I remember Slumdog
Millionaire. Yeah, and that's sort of the lead song from it. And I picked some music today. At least the first four songs are a blend of what Kamala Harris is a blend of. Okay. We've got a couple of songs from India and a couple of songs from Jamaica, and that's who she is.
Well, you know, Sandy, you said earlier, and for those of you who are just joining us, you know, we were talking about football, where it's gone. I got a couple more things to talk about with it, and then we'll move on. But, Sandy, you said, contrary to popular belief, you didn't play. When you played it, you had face masks.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a guy right now who played when there wasn't any helmets. Al Holmes.
There you go.
Good morning to you, Al. That's what happened to you, huh? You played football without a helmet.
Yeah, tackle. Right. We played with plastic helmets.
Yeah.
Like Sandy did.
Yeah.
We had two-bar face masks.
Two-bar. We did graduate the two-bar. And by the time I... And
they had a white face mask, right? They were big. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No, ours were metal with plastic coating.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there was plenty of room to get an arm through. There was plenty of room to get your arm through to your nose with that face mask.
You made a forearm.
Forearm, yeah, I can vouch for that.
I played tackle football until I was 54 years old.
I said that's what happened to you, man.
54. 54. When you're 54, they come out and put the pieces back together again so you can get to the bench.
Sandy, we had coaches who were about conditioning, and you lifted weights and you ran like you were running forever. We were in the best of shape, and very few people that I played with got injured. Most of the injuries had to do with ankles and things like that, but it wasn't about, you know, we were in the best condition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And most of our coaches were also track and cross country coaches. So they ran us forever. And, you know, it was just a matter of, you were trying to build, you're trying to build your body up to a point to be able to deal with the punishment.
Al, you're not trying to justify the kinds of heat conditions that this article, as the globe continues to heat, conditions on the practice field continue to worsen and kids are left to die. We are left with a simple question. Is the sport morally sustainable? Is what this article is talking about, the heat dome that Sandy is talking about, that's around during the time the football season starts, and whether or not that's safe or not is a question, Sandy.
Well, I mean, I think it can be, certainly be safe. It just requires a lot of care. And you know, Al's right. I think people in good shape, high school kids. But the other thing about high school is there's lots of disparate sizes. So, you know, you've got the kid who's going to go on and play in college who weighs 280 pounds and is playing tackle, and you've got the kid who's never going to play again.
170.
Who loves playing, and his whole school only has 20 kids out for football. So he's playing tackle too.
Yeah. Al?
Son playing, yes. I have a grandson playing right now. He's starting tackle. He's 6'2", 320 pounds, and he's in the best of condition. He runs over half a mile every day before and after practice, and we do some other things with making sure he's strong and healthy.
But yeah, operative word.
When it got hot, Earl, we used to go and practice in the gym, and that's way back in the 50s. We didn't practice out in the heat. They made us run in the heat, but not out there hitting each other.
We were out there in the heat. Now we were tough at the Rhode
Island. Yeah, so we were in the heat as well. But Al, the I guess what's at stake here and what the questions really are is the quality of the coaches today, and whether or not Al and Sandy, whether or not some of the people who are coaches, I think along the way, we certainly don't have the coaches that we had in the past.
Well, I think it really depends on the place. I've got a grandson who's playing for Marquette High School, and they've got some.
Great coaching
and I think Wisconsin, the high school league, has put out a lot of information to coaches on safety. There's lots of protocols, lots of restrictions. I mean, there's lots of attention being paid to it. Football's as an organization is pretty aware of what's going on and is doing everything it can to make sure that it's safe and able to attract participants. But you know, it is what it's always been, which is a tough sport, and it's a tough sport that involves contact, and contact sports obviously involve the potential for head injuries. In fact, non-contact sports do. They found out that soccer, the practice of heading, hitting the ball with your head,
right,
all the time, actually has the potential as well to produce CTE and problems. So, you know, there is a risk associated with sports, and I think most people have decided that life is filled with risks and you need to take some in order to realize the full value of life. And in sports, there are risks. But football is a bit riskier. You're more likely to hit your head in football than you are in swimming, for instance.
Hello?
Yeah?
No, just one last thing, and that is when I play football, all of our coaches smoke cigarettes and cigars.
Yeah.
While we were practicing and playing ball.
I know, man.
So, Al, what state?
We'd be on the sideline.
Yeah.
And they'd be blowing smoke in our face.
Michigan. He was in Michigan.
You were in Michigan. That's big time football. Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Our football coaches were not in good condition.
No. Mine was Ray Pozinski. He was probably 5'10", 290 or 320.
Yeah.
Squat, you know, strong guy. You can get away with that stuff back then. You know, you can't get away with the kind of stuff they were doing then today.
Yep.
All right, Al, thank you very much for the call, man. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789 is the number. We're going to get into some politics on the other side. Lot to talk about. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson's Democratic National Convention speech this week is stoking speculation about a job for him in a Kamala Harris administration.
I hear that from everybody else except for the Harris folks, so.
Johnson has been Milwaukee's mayor since 2021.
I'm very happy as mayor of our city. I think there's plenty of opportunity in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin.
On stage at the DNC, Johnson talked about how the bipartisan infrastructure law is revitalizing black neighborhoods. A labor dispute in Canada is stopping railroads that serve Wisconsin. The Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Southern Railroads are locking out workers this week. The railroads carry agricultural, manufacturing, and industrial freight. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth business that helps residents pursue their professional goals held a long-delayed ribbon-cutting ceremony this week. According to a Fox 21 report, the ribbon-cutting had been delayed at Perception Coaching for about 4 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The organization works with people to identify their talents and passions to connect them with opportunities to put their skills to use. They also partner with other area businesses and are planning a retreat to evaluate new strategic planning strategies. Some Bayfield residents are expressing concerns about recently introduced legislation to make the Apostle Islands a national park. According to a Northern News Now report, some residents think they weren't given enough of a chance to be a part of the process, believing they could have put their local knowledge to use on developing the most effective way to move forward. The legislation was introduced by Congressman Tom Tiffany with the hope that the designation would open up new opportunities for area residents. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Conan O'Brien as a sex worker? Who hasn't pictured that? On his Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast, the former talk show host sat down with actor Walton Goggins, who stars in the new season of White Lotus. During their conversation, Conan said that last year while in Bangkok, he ran into White Lotus creator Mike White and pitched himself as a gigolo in the show's new season. Goggins said he could see O'Brien playing a gigolo and actually being a gigolo in real life, all while keeping a straight face. Good actor. The third season of White Lotus premieres on Max in 2025. Well, it's happened. After months of denying their marriage was in trouble and moving out of their $60 million crib, it's official. Jennifer Lopez has filed for divorce from husband Ben Affleck 2 years to the day after their big wedding celebration in 2022. Now she's Jenny from a different block. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll do a recap of the DNC in Chicago, Illinois. It was quite a party. Tune in Friday.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Sandy, you got that question mark look on your face.
Well, there was I thought I had Ravi Shankar teed up next, but maybe that'll come. This is Jamaican music. Like I said, the Kamala is a mix, right?
She's
Jamaican and Indian, and so we've got a little of each.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, your thoughts on the convention?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I was just very, very impressed with all of the talent, the deep bench, the things that people had to say that really were important. I thought Adam Kinzinger's appearance was super important, actually, because he was saying something that we've talked about on this show over the years, which is, look, no party has a corner on patriotism. And that was one of the main thrusts of what he had to say. He said, look, I'm a conservative. My party has abandoned me. My Republican Party has abandoned me. But let me tell you, Republicans, there's one thing that is true, which is that Democrats are just as patriotic. They love their country just as much as Republicans. And with that is something that I think is a very healing concept, which we have to get in mind, because I think the we, they thing has gotten to the point where we have a tendency to think that they are not really interested in America. They are not. They are not Americans. And that's clearly something that I think is sold by the right. And I think maybe the left, it's crept into the left's thinking too. But, we're all in this together. Someone made the quote, I think John Lewis talked about how it doesn't matter what boat you came over this country on, but now we're all in the same boat, okay? And I think that's something that helps the concept that we're all in it together, number one. And number two, we all love America. I thought that the constant recitation of the USA, where it sounds sort of jingoistic, it was another way of the Democrats, I think, saying, look, Republicans, your convention constantly goes to this point of the USA. We feel the same way, and we're going to recite that as well. And I thought that the convention itself went a long way towards reaching across to demonstrate that it's really a party that's not about we, they. Okay, that this next election, they're going to try and focus on we.
You know, Sandy, I don't know how Republicans, and there's an article in, I think it's the Wall Street Journal today that you and I are going to talk about, and it's basically talking about how Republicans, they haven't learned how to deal with Kamala and the mayor, the congressman. They haven't learned how yet, the Republicans, to attack them. And the, what is her name, Laura Ingraham, really said some crude things about Walz's son, who suffers some maladies. And she thought she was being, smart by and attacking this young man. So did conservative talk radio on WISN. They talked about the young man crying and how weak and, what kind of, what do you think you're going to gain, Sandy?
Well, what's interesting to me is that son, Gus, represents another way that the candidates, particularly Tim Walz, has a family that middle America and people can identify with, okay? Because there's a lot of people out there who have children who have on the spectrum with autism or have, he has apparently some nonverbal problems. He's got ADHD. I mean, and you could tell. I mean,
right.
So instead of thinking that this is weakness, this is a sign of family strength. They didn't hide him from the public. They brought him and included him in this event, knowing that his behavior might not be exactly the norm. And they love, this is a family that loves their children, is caring for them. And to me, it's not only missing the boat when the Republicans do that, they're shooting their toes off, because There's people out there, lots of people out there on both sides of the aisle, who would respect Tim Walz and his wife and that family for all that they're doing and all that they've done. So, you know, I think this is another way that I think that the Trump version of politics misses the mark and isn't really in touch with the people. I think that the Trump version of politics was kind of easy when you could have an old guy like Joe Biden to paint an image of that had everything to do with making sure that everyone thought he was way too old.
Well, you know,
but that's that turns out to have been sort of the one joke comedian kind of problem. And now that they've got a candidate who doesn't have any of those apparent infirmities, they're going to have to deal with policies, or they're going to have to try and find mud. You know, they tried the mud thing with Doug Emhoff and his prior life prior to marriage. You know, they're going to try these various things, but I think the one thing that this convention really did is displayed the humanity. Okay, it displayed humanity, and I think it displayed human stories that were very identifiable for a broad spectrum of people. And I think Tim Walz comes from Trump country himself and is in many respects a representative of the kind of person that can talk to a broad range of people. I thought the convention, and it wasn't because to me, I mean, maybe it was staged in a way in terms of picking speakers, but I thought that the people who spoke had profoundly good things to say, and I thought they all had profoundly good credentials and were people who the American public could readily identify with.
You know, Sandy, this what I garnered from the convention was that clearly these two different choices can't be any starkly different. When you heard those on the Democratic side, they were constantly talking about a new America, an opportunity for America to almost begin again, right? And you're in my generation is moving on. It's time for America to get out from under all of those things in a new beginning. It's what I was sensing from everybody who spoke, right? And then on the other side of it, we want to go back. And Kamala and others kept saying, hey, we're not going back. I mean, it's clear, right? The distinction is very clear.
Well, and also, you know, I saw J.D. Vance. He'd be asked to appear periodically in networks to sort of be the counterpoint, right? And so he'd say, well, we're against inflation. You know, we're going to fight inflation. It's a simple thing. We're going to fight inflation. We're going to make sure that we are energy independent. Well, we are energy independent, number one. Number two, their version of fighting inflation involves a whole bunch of hyperinflationary kind of tools, right? The policies that they talk about are all inflationary. So they give lip service to these targets that they think middle America is interested and worried about. But Kamala's, the platform she talked about was speaking directly to the things that we've been talking about in this show for 3 years, five years,
right?
What Tom, Dick, and Mary are worried about, their budget, okay? And it's their budget that relates to housing costs. It's their budget that relates to child daycare costs. It's their budget that relates to health care costs. Those are the things that are breaking their budget. Those are the things that are causing people to live paycheck to paycheck. And we have middle America now can't realize the dream. She talked about this directly. They can't realize the dream because they're living paycheck to paycheck. And so what they're going to focus on, at least what she says she's going to focus on in policies, is doing things to try and rearrange the architecture for the middle class of America to make it so that not so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And more Americans can go back to the situation that we all aspire to, which is the American dream, being able to have homes, own homes, have vacations, you know, have a family experience that is positive, and to be able to take care of their children, send them to safe schools.
So let's not kid ourselves. It is a major undertaking
that they're attempting on the Democratic side of things to do. It because clearly it involves, you know, sometimes taking on maybe major corporations more so than we've done in the past, and taking on the healthcare system even more demonstratively than they had done in the past. In order to do the things you're talking about, you've got to go after some people on the other side of things.
They're going to have to turn a deaf ear to the lobbyists in Washington.
And which is not easy.
Not easy in politics, because those people control a lot of the money that flows into politics that causes people to get elected. But they've already demonstrated some strength in that regard with respect to the prescription prices and what they've done already with respect to prescription prices. What they've accomplished in terms of the enabling legislation will allow them to do this with more prescriptions and more drugs. But they're talking about exactly the right things, and they're going to develop policies. Now, you know, their policy with respect to prices of groceries is the right policy. We need to get competition back into the grocery business to make sure that the marketplace does what conservatives all want the marketplace to do, which is to use competition to regulate markets and to have markets be responsive and to be to operate as they should. You know, the conservative would favor an active antitrust policy to make sure that we have competition, because the kind of regulation she's talking about is regulation designed to enable the market mechanism to work.
So let me ask you then, Sandy, so what I'm hearing, and not just from Kamala Harris, but from almost all the different speakers over those 3 days or 4 days, they were all talking about Tom, Dick, and Mary and what we're going to do to help them out. Well, on the other side of it, you hear the Republicans saying, we're fighting for Tom, Dick, and Mary. But the way they're talking about it, doesn't seem like they're going to be able to get there, because they're still promising more to the people who have it all.
Well, yeah, I mean, they still have implicitly only one trick in the bag, which is trickle down, because
right.
That's the only thing that can justify the policies they have in terms of tax reductions for those who make lots of money, so that they can have more money in their pocket, which presumably they say will then trickle down. But it turns out that when you're very wealthy and you have more money in your pocket, you put it in the stock market. The stock market's not out there creating jobs. The stock market's creating wealth for the people who own stock. That's basically the way that mechanism works. And so, you know, someone who has $1 billion, the one thing they didn't do is spend it, because if they'd spend it, they wouldn't have it.
Right.
Yeah, so they're accumulating it. And that's a different game. I think that the problem for the Republicans is that when they get down to policy, they have trouble talking about it in a way that actually makes sense for benefiting Tom, Dick, and Mary. And what I thought about the policies being discussed by, for instance, Kamala in her speech last night, they were very centrist. There was nothing in there that, you know, I know that Donald Trump wants to call her, K, starting with a K, Communist Kamala or Comrade Kamala or whatever he's working on for branding. But it's not going to work with respect to these policies, because these policies are not radical. They are not leftist. They're strictly all tied up with the market and market mechanisms and trying to make the market work better for the middle class.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the phone lines, guys. We're coming right to you. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier?
Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host. And Sandy, people are saying, hey, what did Sandy get into last night?
Yeah, incense. Can you smell the incense? No, that's Ravi Shankar, Indian. Yeah, I remember when the Beatles got totally taken in by Ravi Shankar, and they had a number of albums that featured a lot of him, actually.
Right.
He's an Indian performer, and like I said, Kamala is half Indian, half Jamaican, so I've got music spread out that way. I've got some coming from Minnesota too.
All right. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday to both of you.
You as well.
Thank you. Sandy, my question is addressed to you. I did listen to her speech last night, and overall, I would have to say that the Democratic Party had a very successful convention, if you compare it to the Republicans. And one point in her message that stood out to me was rebuilding the middle class. And over the last two decades, the middle class has taken it on the chin. What concerned me, because I am an independent, is that for her opportunity economy, how will she pay for the items she's proposing? I like what she's saying. I don't agree with all of her proposal items, but how will she pay for it? Because we are a country in debt. And in order for her to accomplish her economic objectives, someone will have to pay for it. So you have to take resources from one to give to rebuild the middle class. So if you heard her say how she would accomplish that, Sandy, I would love to hear from you. And thanks. You guys have a great day.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Cassandra.
Well, she didn't talk about it in that speech, but they have talked about it in prior speeches. They'll be moving to increase the corporate tax rate, move it back to something closer to what it was before the Trump reduction. They don't talk about moving it all the way up to what it was, but they talk about moving it up. They also talk about increasing taxes on the very rich, meaning that people who earn in excess of $400,000 a year will be potentially facing higher tax rates. So those will be some revenue sources. I suspect they'll also have to make some choices between expenditures as to how to make them. I'm not sure that the health costs necessarily will cost the federal government money by taking steps to reduce health costs, for instance, prescription drug reduction and cost. But extending the Affordable Care Act to more people might require additional subsidies. And then the child daycare, the credit or some other form of support for child daycare will cost money. Those are investments, however, and they will be replacing money that private citizens would otherwise be paying themselves for daycare. So they're going to try and, you know, shift the burdens to some extent away from those who are striving to get into the middle class but face those kinds of expenditure roadblocks to actually making it. So, you know, I agree. I mean, I'm a centrist, and I'm also a fiscal reality person. And there needs to be a fiscal reality here. But like I've said before, we have to pay more attention to the revenue side than we do now, because we talk about tax reductions because it's terribly seductive from at the polls. The reality of the tax reduction being talked about on the Republican side is that it's going to be, you know, if you have to earn a lot of money for a tax reduction to be worth a lot to you. And so, you know, there'll be a middle class tax reduction of some sort. And then, however, these other expenditures will need to get supported. There's plenty of money to be obtained in revenue by taxing the very rich. And it don't have to be taxed out of their very rich existence in order to provide some of the additional support required.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. Joyful Democracy Warrior here, not Project 2025 Authoritarian Dictator, checking in. Sandy, I don't know if they've been hearing you or what. I definitely know the Republicans haven't heard you at all, because we talked months, maybe a year ago, about child care, health care, taxes, rent or mortgage, and how each of those indices cost $16,000 a year. And it sounds to me like the Democratic Party has a policy to actually take that burden off the average, everyday working American. And I couldn't be more proud. And for people that want to bring up border issues and all that, you know what? There's a bunch of fentanyl that got caught at the border, and it would have been stopped completely if Donald Trump wouldn't have killed the border deal. So, and also, you guys in Wisconsin, I don't know why you're as concerned about the border. You might want to be concerned about Canada more so than, down in Mexico and that area. And Sandy, one other thing, I said this to Earl yesterday. Since 1989, Bill Clinton said, and he checked it and rechecked it and rechecked it again, 49 out of 50 million jobs that have been created. 49 million jobs have been created by Democrats. 1 million jobs have been created by Republicans. And also, I love the fact when Bill Clinton said, don't count the number of lies Donald Trump says. Count the number of times he says I. Very, very beautifully said.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I think, Sandy, the number is 50 million.
51 and 50.
But, yeah.
But, you know,
which is astounding.
Yeah, and that's the net number. And, of course, there was the negative bounce that Trump had because of COVID. But, you know, what's interesting is you can take out and adjust for all that COVID effect, and the numbers are still overwhelmingly favorable to the Democratic administrations.
Yeah, that is astounding, actually.
Yeah, and I think
speaks volumes.
One thing I think we don't have to be defensive about is the border policies. I think Kamala was very clear what her border policy is, and it's pretty strident, actually.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. The DNC is over, and I'm taking a breather. Don't worry, I got you covered. Special guest host Matt Rothschild is up next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Matt Nair on Air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.